FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Intuitive Song with host Lori Houston, a professional and intuitive counselor who offers authentic guidance and tools to assist you to become more conscious and connect with your divine soul, to empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Couts, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe. And good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. This is the last Wednesday of the month. We've had five Wednesdays this month, so this is the last Wednesday, which means we have Jennifer Couts with us today. I love when we have Jennifer because she's our dream analyst. You can find out more about Jennifer. Really, this is about more about her artistic side and her poetry side, but her website is theartfulsoul.org, and you can find more about her on that. And so welcome, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you very much. It's always great to be here. I love talking about this subject. This is
I know. It's, you know, it's a great topic because I think our dreams are so important. So today, apparently, we're talking about the joy and pain of the dream. So this should be interesting.
Well, yeah, because the reason I'm talking about the joy and the pain is there are so many when you have a dream, and what we've been talking about is in our dreams we have images that come to us, and it's what does that dream image, you know, what kind of feeling does that evoke? And the thing is oftentimes is that image can go to so many different layers. It can evoke joy, but the exact same image can evoke pain at different times or in different dreams. And the other reason too is it's also an image that is trying it, and I talk about it as it's coming to you. It's wanting to live its life through you, and I call it at times the cry of the soul. And because when we reach down into our dreams, we're reaching into a different level of our psyche, of we're looking at the world differently, and we're looking at ourselves differently as to how we fit into the universe. So when we look at these images, it's really powerful to go into each of these images and to really evoke the feeling and what can happen to our lives if we truly allow those images to really live in us and through us. Obviously, at times we look at some of these dreams and we look at the interpretation of the dreams, but what we really want to do is really go into learning how to feel our lives again. And I believe that these dreams and the images in our dreams really are the universal way. It's been known for centuries of doing that. So,
right. Well, yeah, and I think, you know, we do seem to have a lot of stuff going on, you know, especially, well, there's a lot of stuff going on with Neptune right now, which Neptune is all about our dreams, which you may or may not know about, but I know we've talked about Neptune before, and so there's a lot of things being activated right now with Neptune, and there's some big trines and stuff happening actually today and for, like, the next couple weeks, so our dreams have been, like, are kind of important. And I know, you know, I had an interesting dream. I don't know if we want to get into it now, but where, you know, something happened. Oh, it was shortly after actually our last show, and it might have been the next day. But remember how the one person had a dream, and I think you actually talked to her later, where a baby had died?
Yes.
Yep. Well, my dream was, and it was so bizarre. I apparently was pregnant, although I didn't look it or feel it, but I knew that I was talking to my doctor, and my doctor said, you know, you're going to have this now. And I went, well, isn't it going to take like a, you know, several hours before it happens? He goes, well, because the last time, oh yeah, because the last time, he said, no, it's going to happen now. So immediately I call my ex and say, I know you said you wanted to be there and it's happening. And he made some comment about, I think I said, oh, it's Lori. And he goes, Lori or Lori Houston? I went, okay. Yeah. He goes, well, you don't sound like yourself. And it's like, well, actually, I don't really feel like myself right now. But yeah, it is me. And you did mention that you wanted to be there, and it's happening now. And it's like, right now? It's like, yeah, are you coming or not? And that was sort of where it ended. But it was just really strange because, you know, one, it brought up the past relationship, which was a bit of a heartbreak for me, but also, you know, a child. But, you know, I know that births are symbolic for other things. But I just, you know, that brings up, when you were talking about pain, it was just making me think of, you know, sometimes we bring people into our dreams that we may or may not want to see or deal with, but there's obviously a part of us that's still either needing to deal with that person or needing to deal with that part of us that is still feeling wounded.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it may even, I mean, it could be about the ex.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may not be about the ex, but that ex is symbolic of certain characteristics or feelings, and which, like you said, evoke certain painful feelings. Mm-hmm. And so the birth of this baby and whatever this baby symbolizes could also be triggering, like, wow, there is going to be a birth that's happening, and yet you're still needing to go back and deal with the feelings or the characteristics mm-hmm. that are needing to happen or are going to happen upon the birth of the baby.
Right.
So,
because I was happy, a little annoyed when he said, is this Lori or Lori Houston? It's like, really?
Wow. But the interesting thing is there is the Lori as Lori who you are as a person, and there is the Lori Houston who is the personality on with this radio show. So for him to say, is Lori or Lori Houston, so you do have a persona of which is shows in your dream that is very already a symbol. Right. So actually I think that was a kind of exciting dream. Because something is happening
right now, apparently.
Yeah. And one thing that, because I've been working with a Jungian dream analyst, and the one thing, and it, I mean, you know, everything is for growth. So what I've also been learning too is just how the process of dreaming is allowing that dream to just be organic and to bring it into the heart. And I think that's the thing about the dream being joy and pain. How do we bring even the really sad and tragic moments back into our lives and allow them to be organic and to be a part of life and not judging them as good and bad and just knowing that that is what life is? And I think that's where the old ancient history of Greece and the old the cultures where we lost, where they lived by a mythology rather than a scientific process, or that lived within communities and cultures that also honored, you know, the symbolic story of what the humanity is going through. So here's the symbolic human story or mythical story of you, and where, so when you look into it as a story like that and something is being birthed, you know, that is something to celebrate.
Right.
So to give honor to that kind of a dream, too, is to celebrate it. Because I think, too, is the difference between looking at our dreams and thinking them in terms of, you know, myth. Because I'm trying to bring in myth a little bit. Because myth is where we look at something and it's the greater story. And there's also where we don't really understand everything that's going on in the universe that we don't need to understand. I think this is where, because of we have so much science and everything has to be proven, we've lost the mystery and the awe of the creation of life.
Right. So, okay. Right. So it's,
yeah. So I think when we come back, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about how we can look at our lives and the dreams and how we can shift the joy and the pain into something that is greater and can, you know, ground it a little bit more in our lives.
Right. not sure that we need to actually go to break yet. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, we have a couple more minutes, so...
Okay, cool. Well, there's a quote right here from cool. Joseph Campbell that I wanted to say. The person or society that cherishes and keeps its myths alive will be nourished from the soundest, richest strata of the human spirit. And that is where dreams come in, because dreams basically are our own personal myths. And so that is where the dream of the joy and the pain, and like I said, what is going, the dream, that was a beautiful example of something, the story of what's going on with you, Lori, that something is ready to be birthed. So that is something to be celebrated, and we can celebrate that through ritual, through your own personal, you know, artistry, or just through your own personal satisfaction of something that you are working on that's going to be birthed.
Right. And I think, you know, the myth, I mean, the whole part of what you're talking about, I mean, it's again, us, we've talked about this before, but coming back into the sacredness, like really seeing everything as sacred, like it is our soul that is communicating to us. And so acknowledging...
Absolutely.
That sacredness and allowing that sacredness to sort of like to realize how crucial or important our dreams can be, and regardless of what they look like, but that there's this sacredness that we need to really get back in touch with. We're going to go to our first break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul. I have Jennifer Kautz with us. Jennifer is our dream analyst, so we are talking about the joy and pain of the dream. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Coming up Thursday on New Sky Radio. At 11 a.m. Eastern Time, it's the Jane Wilkins Michael Show. Jane has helped change lives by encouraging listeners and readers to become better than before. Coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Radio to Thrive By with Dr. Pat. At 3 p.m. Eastern, step into the Spirit Salon with Laura Lee, the Sane Psychic. Joyce Jackson is on at 4 p.m. Eastern, bringing sanity when love feels a bit crazy. Let Joyce Jackson help you ride the roller coaster of love with style. Kathy is in with host Kathy DeBono at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You won't want to miss a minute of the crazy fun with Kathy and her friends. Coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern, Reverend Linda Newman and Tom Forrest have the answers to life's most pressing questions. Yours on Answers with the Astro Bank Lady. Get the latest from the stars with Zoe Moon and the Zoe Moon Astrology Show at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all New Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio and radio.com. Powered by CBS Radio.
Love.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Jennifer Kautz with us. Jennifer is our dream analyst. You can find out more about Jennifer. You go to her website, theartfulsoul.org. So that's theartfulsoul.org. And we're talking about the joy and pain of the dream. We actually aren't asking for callers today because we are pre-recording this. So you get to listen to our extended version of discussion with regards to dreaming. All right.
Yeah, just our chatting. yeah, because, you know, I put a lot of thoughts down on paper, but it's amazing when I start reading over it, you know, usually some things start, you know, going, oh, you know, I got to write that. Yeah, because even this one, when people begin to have tremendous rich inner lives, this is one thought that came through. They will need less exterior materialism to feed that their, you know, they won't need the materialism that's going on today, and they will be able to do more things in creating their lives and doing more artistry, doing more, and they won't be so much on material consumption because there's so much that's fulfilling them on the inside, and they will look at things, whether it be joy or pain, and they will be processing them a lot more. Because what happens is when we feel our pain, so in the old days, and it is true today too, but in the old days, they used to celebrate. I mean, there used to be the Greek tragedies, and there used to be the poets, and they would look at life and see life as tragedy, but then they would integrate it into the human life and the human spirit, and then they would celebrate it, and they would write poetry, and they would do so many things. There'd be theater, and we have that today, but it's more, I believe, a sense of entertainment rather than a celebration of the human spirit. So when we can take what is happening within the dream, and then we can somehow put it in, you know, ground it in, because that's important too. If we live too much in the inner life and we're not able to ground it in our current reality somehow, then, you know, that's where people tend to lose reality. And there's even some people, you know, serious schizophrenia. So what we want to do is we really want to ground it in poetry, art, or anything. But so that's why when, Lori, when you talk about your dream, it sounded like a fabulous dream, like a crossing over. And so I always encourage people to write about their dreams. And but the main thing is to really look at the dream, really evoke the feeling from the dream, because if you can really feel the dream and allow yourself to process it, I have to tell you, I had a dream not too, I think it was about a week ago. I had two separate dreams on two different days. One day the image evoked sadness and sorrow and grief. And I allowed myself to process that, and I actually felt it and lived it for about a day or two. I even wrote a poem on it.
Oh, nice.
And then what happened is I then had a dream where the same image and a situation, relationship, had a totally positive, there's the flip side, which is, that's what life is. It's not just about the joy. With the joy will come pain and different things. But then there was the positives of the image or the symbol that came or the relationship. And it was a beautiful dream. And then here there was like a celebration of what the relationship or that I'm experiencing is about, and the image. And so there was kind of a story that was kind of going on, that the dream in two separate dreams showed up. But the fact that I allowed myself to feel the feelings and to go into the image and the dream, and also to allow myself to write a poem about it, allowed me to process it. And I got to tell you, it didn't stay with me very long. And now I kind of, instead of becoming the victim of the situation, situation or what is transpiring in life, it's something, you know, it's something that's actually beautiful. And, you know, when we look at, because actually it's like, I did just find this about Emily Dickinson, how she writes, someone was reading one of her poems, and when she talked about despair, Emily Dickinson talked about despair as being sumptuous.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this person said, wow. You know, didn't think, you know, so instead of looking at those feelings, the bad feelings is that they're bad and you should avoid them, she went into it as something really rich and meaningful and deep. And so then what came from it are people that when you look at poetry, and this is, I think, too, when as you opened talking about my poetry and my artistry, my poetry and artistry come from my dreams. So it's really a deep connection from my dreams, and it's totally linked to my dreams. I would have to say it's a personal connection, definitely from my dreams, especially my poetry. So some other sayings are, somebody writes about, you know, the winter Arctic of my soul. Mm-hmm. And or another saying was, fields lying fallow with failed life. And it makes something that's maybe somebody is experiencing, but it puts it in a framework that allows it to breathe new life into it and allows it to just look at the beauty of life and of to look at it in a different way. And I believe when we go into our dreams and we go into our pain that and we look into images, we look at it from a different level than we do on our normal everyday life, and allows us to see life in a different manner. So that's why it's so important to really look at our dreams in this way.
Right. I know I talk a lot about authenticity and being, you know, really authentic. And, you know, when we have pain, you know, instead of judging it, just,
yes,
I think that's kind of what Emily Dickinson was saying. I mean, it's,
yes,
it's like, just embrace it, like accept it, go into it, dive into it, and see,
absolutely,
where it takes you.
Absolutely.
Well, it's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're scared of it.
Well, we are. We're afraid that we're going to suffer.
Yes.
Right. So that's where that phrase where pain is inescapable. But I don't know. I'm not using the right word. And that suffering is a choice. And I think that's where, you know, that comes from. It's like, you know, if we just allow the emotions that are true emotions. I mean, they're real. Every emotion is real. We just need to allow it to and accept it as part of who we are and not judge it as something being bad just because it's anger or frustration or, you know, or something that we don't want to look at. Like, it just go into that, find out what it is, see it as a, you know, an experiment or a, you know, and just allow it to be, and it won't have the same impact on us. We don't have to suffer just because we want to look at something that feels painful.
Absolutely. Because we have been trained in this culture because we do not really, we do not value myth. We do not value story. We really do not value the human condition. We don't really. Things are much more literal, and we look at life much more scientific, and then our religious structures too are not mythological. Like where we look at the Garden of Eden, and we don't see it as a mythic story, symbolic story of the Garden of Eden is not necessarily a literal place, but, you know, the place that we used to come from and live from because we have eternal souls. And then we've cut ourselves off because the knowledge of good and evil is the fact that we are judging things good or evil instead of just is. So, absolutely. I really believe that, if we can begin, and really it's a retraining of the mind. It's the way we used to, cultures used to live by and live by symbolically. And, yeah, it's a beautiful way to look at, like, but you still have to, your dreams or how to look at life through symbols and images that way and look at pain as a part of the process. And if we allow that pain to become and sink, find where it's going to find where it is in the body, it usually will move through the body and move through you and not really stay with you, and it will transform you too.
Right. Right. And this again brings me back to the point that I made earlier about the sacredness and how we just need to honor the sacredness, because it's all about, you know, really connecting in, you know, not with the mundane. Because the mundane we do all the time.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's why. So what, the two people that I really honor. Well, I was very honored to work personally with Jean Houston. And she has a book out called A Mythic Life. And then her other book is called The Passion for the Possible. And she talks in this way that we are human. I love what she said. Our bodies are of the stuff of stars and the minerals of the earth. Our genes are universes in themselves, coded with enough information to recreate the world. Mm. Well, we really do not believe that. I mean, we as human beings, because look where we're at. And the fact is, it's actually true, and actually it's scientifically proven that that is what she is saying is true. And so we have a cosmology, we have lost our mythology of who we are as human beings and the connection that we are to the universe. And so diving into our dreams allows us that one-step process of getting closer to thinking of ourselves as universal beings, and the symbology, and looking at the symbology and connecting to something that is greater than ourselves. And the reason I just love Jean, and I would just really encourage anyone to read her. She's got a new book out called, I believe, The Wizard of Us. So it's taking the mythology of The Wizard of Oz and placing us in that mythological story. And so she uses her as how to, you know, recreate the passion that we have in everyday life and start creating from a place where we can all connect to a place where we can create magnificent, beautiful, you know, things.
Yeah. Absolutely. We need to go to our next break. It's kind of, it's the magic that we need to bring back into our lives.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Jennifer Kautz. Jennifer can be found on the web at theartfulsoul.org. That's theartfulsoul.org. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Who wants to be right as the rain is better when something is wrong? You get excitement in your bones and everything you do's a game. When night comes in you're on your own, you can say I chose to be alone. Who wants to be right as the rain is harder when you're on top? Cause when hard work don't pay off and I'm tired, there ain't no room in my bed as far as I'm concerned, so wipe that dirty smile off. We both be making up, I've cried my heart out. Yeah.
both right and no one had blame. But now I give up on this endless game. 'Cause who wants to be right? 'Cause the rain is better and everything is wrong. I get this time burning in my bones, even though everything's a strain. When night comes and I'm on my own, you should know I chose to be alone. Who wants to be right? The rain is harder when you're on top. 'Cause when hard work don't pay off and I'm tired, there ain't no home in my bed.
Is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Jennifer Coutts. Jennifer can be found on the web at theartfulsoul.org. We're talking about the joy and pain of the dream. Jennifer is our dream analyst, and we're going to talk about archetypes. That's a kind of a big topic all on its own. It's certainly a Jungian method of looking at the world, but then there's been some great people like Carolyn Miss who has kind of re-brought that in a way that's a little bit more dated.
Oh, absolutely. I love Carolyn Miss. She actually, I go back to her so many times because she brings it really close to home as far as, like, you know, it really isn't easy sometimes working with these images and working with the divine. For that reason is because we don't really have control over our own lives when we begin to engage in the process of working with these archetypes. It becomes the archetypes are extremely powerful. So real quick, an archetype, and it was coined by Carl Jung, as you were saying, is an image in a dream, and it is the original pattern, the original form of something that has come into the earth. So let's say the term mother, if you see an image of a mother, there is an original essence of how that image of mother got coined, and it's held collectively in a universal pattern. The same for any animal, the same for you as a human being, you have an original essence. So that's why we always talk about the soul, because the soul, really, when you connect to your soul, it connects to your original essence when you were born. So everything that was born that you see on this earth actually comes from an original essence. And obviously for me, my belief is that there's one original divine essence that has emanated throughout, of course, the universe, and then from that original essence there's other original essences. And I believe that's where the deity, the term gods, came from, as far as the Roman gods and Greek gods and stuff, and that they looked at certain, like the Athena, who is the goddess of love. So, and there is an original essence for what that was created for. So I believe when we start looking at archetypal patterns in our dreams, sometimes when we look at dreams in this way and look for images in an archetypal way, we can begin to see patterns in our dreams. I know for myself, there is one, and Jung said that there's quite a few reoccurring dreams, and he had like 12 different figures, and I'm not going to go through all of them. One, of course, was the mother and the father. There was the wise man, but he had the anima and the animus. Mm-hmm. And the anima and the animus are the feminine and the masculine original form. And so, like, for me, I know that I believe the animus, there's the anima and the animus. The animus is the male masculine figure. Yeah. And so I have an individual that is in my dream all the time, and I know that he, and it's somebody that I used to work with. Mm-hmm. And so whenever he shows up, I know he's the animus because I've gone into that image before, and, you know, what kind of characteristics and feelings does that image evoke? But because he's a repeating pattern, that's how I knew that he was the animus archetype in my dream. So that's when you're able to, at times, go back into a dream, and then you can see repeating patterns, and then you can kind of see what is working within that dream. It can be a little bit, you know, that's where it takes a little bit more, where you're really watching your dreams and you're really writing them down and you're really seeing that this patterns. Is an, yeah, when you're seeing patterns and that this is a spiritual practice. You know how you sit down and do a meditation or you sit down and do something to engage in a spiritual practice that will take you into conversing with, you know, God or the divine self. This is a spiritual practice to do this. This is not, I mean, some people might think, oh my gosh, this is involved. And it really, I have to tell you, it has been one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done. It's really beautiful. And it is deeply the one reason how I've been able to get into and reconnect with my poetry and my artistry and just see life in a completely different way. So again, and you actually, you yourself have an archetypal pattern. And Carolyn Mace talks about it. She calls it Sacred Contracts. She has a book called Sacred Contracts. Yes. And she literally goes through all the different archetypal patterns that each one of us has.
Yeah, and we usually have a few of them, but yes. I mean, I think it's a cool way of looking at things so that we don't get so attached, so that we don't have to, you know, identify as something personal, but yes, can still, you know, still see it as the richness and also allow us to still grow and evolve through it, but we don't have to attach it to something so personal. So I think archetypes and the symbology, I think it's really important.
Well, I also think, too, it allows us to see the roles that we're playing in our lives and to see life. One thing that Jean would do in one of her assistants at one of her workshops was Peggy Rubin, and she was in Shakespeare Theater, an actress. And so what they would do is talk about life in a way of going in and out of these different archetypes, like, okay, you're going to clean the house. Why don't you go into that archetype of being Olga, the Russian fabulous house cleaner, and put on that persona of her, so that and make life a theater, so that instead of going through the drudgery of cleaning the house, and I just think this is just fabulous. Instead of going through the drudgery, oh, I have to clean the house. It's just like, well, most of us have to. Well, some people can hire Olga, and but many of us clean the house ourselves. And so to put on a persona or a role, and create theater from it, I think is just fabulous.
It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But like you said too, and you don't become so attached to the identity of it. You go into that role.
I think it would be very playful to do that. I you don't want to get caught up too much in the victim one or the prostitute one or the ones where, you know, it's not that it has a negativity to it. I mean, I guess if you could see it that way and just see it from a play and just play it. You know, we take life so seriously. If we could really honestly do it in a way that would be fun and playful, I mean, that would make a huge difference in how we view the world.
Oh, absolutely. I have said that. I have to tell myself that all the time. Honestly, and it's just like, wow, why am I taking it so seriously or so playfully? And oh, absolutely. And then, like you said, are getting into the victim role. And then again, going back to when we're in the victim role, bring in the poet, bring in the artist, bring in the actress that, because oftentimes as we're seeing, you know, life is playing itself out in quite the drama way, and we're seeing it on TV quite a bit. And, but yet there's constructive ways to and creative ways to deal with the, with, instead of victimizing yourself, allowing yourself to realize that this is part of the human condition. And actually it's in celebration of the human condition and of the human life. And so when we understand that all people are going to experience pain and suffering in a certain way, that's what, when people, when you have tragic funerals, I mean, all funerals, you know, some funerals are a little bit more celebratory and others are much more tragic when they're younger. So, and then if somebody's been suffering for a long time and they go and it's celebration, but you know, that too, I believe, you know, if you belong to a smaller group or a culture that adheres to certain cultural principles, I think you can really, really have, live a very rich life. But when you're disconnected and don't feel like you have the culture, which is very easy to do nowadays, you can get really lost. And that's how you can get really depressed, because you don't have those rituals. You don't have the symbolism that's being brought in about the story of the human condition.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get that. And I just, again, going back to the pain and the joy, I mean, it really is perception, right?
So yes,
it's we, how we perceive it, how we can play within it, how we can, you know, enjoy or, you know, take, get out of the serious, it's all very much a journey. I mean, it is, it's so sacred, it's so important, but it's us, you know, detaching maybe from the personal aspect, yet still enjoying the richness of everything that's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to read, poetry about someone's heartbreak or sadness, it allows you to connect to your own personal sadness and allows you to feel those feelings. And then it allows you to celebrate, you know, life's, passages. And because we do, we live through those passages. So, and I believe that when we have those dreams, it allows us to go into there, because it's, they're showing up for a reason. Mm-hmm. And they're showing up for you to really look at them. And especially, and you have to pay attention to them, because there are certain aspects of our dreams that are dealing with the everyday, the personal unconscious, not the deeper soul unconscious. I mean, I do believe in many respects that it's all connected. But like Jean Houston will say, we do have a choice of living from the deeper reality or the surface reality. So oftentimes our dreams can, not oftentimes, most of the time our dreams can stay at the surface and deal with the everyday of what's going on. And if we don't take the time to look a little bit deeper into what those images or what those dreams mean, or to uncover, you know, living soulful life, so it means a lot more. It does mean meditating. It does mean reflecting. It does mean adding ritual to your life. It does mean, you know, making, when you're creating a dinner, to add love to it, to understand where it came from. It's, and we've, you know, there's many cultural groups right now that
let's
are
hold that
doing
thought.
That.
Okay. We're going to go to break. Let's talk about that when we get back.
Sure.
You're listening to Jennifer Kautz on Intuitive Soul. You can find out more about Jennifer if you go to her website, theartfulsoul.org. We are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Coming up Tuesday on New Sky Radio at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Sound Effects. Explore the effects of sound on the body and environment with sound therapist Doreen Davis. Coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern, it's Radio to Thrive By with the Dr. Pat Radio Show. At 3 p.m. Eastern, join Laura Lee in the Spirit Salon. Coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the Colette Baron Reed Show. Join Colette for her fun, fast-paced show all about you. Be sure to call in early. The phones are hot. Coming up at 5 p.m.
Eastern Time, explore your career options with career coach Caroline. At 6 p.m. Eastern, tap into your moment of change with Sherry Gaba and Kathleen O'Connor. Shay Parker introduces us all to today's top metaphysical specialists on Metaphysical Minds at 7 p.m. Shay, the best of the best American psychics, take to the air at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At 9 p.m. Eastern, grab your psychic cup of coffee with Kelly Sutcliffe. Step into the enchanted world of Monty Farber at 10 p.m. Eastern. And at 11 p.m., it's the Zodiac Girls. So sexy, so cool. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all New Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio and radio.com. Powered by CBS Radio.
Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Jennifer Kautz. From The Artful Soul, Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul. We have been talking about the joy and pain of the dream. We got into an interesting topic about meditation and how that can sort of assist us, and we were just about to talk about different cultures, but I would like to go back to the meditation because that's obviously where we learn the most. All right, Jennifer.
Yeah, you know, meditating, being silent every day, it allows you any type of meditation. For me personally, some people meditate on a passage. There's great literature out there. His name is Eknatheswaran. He's got great meditation passages. It's like just where you meditate on one passage. It can be from any religious persuasion, and you meditate on that every day. And when you do it like you're eating it and you're going very slow, it is amazing how it can transform and really open up your spirit. So I encourage any type of meditation. It also allows the mind to get off the everyday chatter of what is going on. It allows you to retrain the mind to go deeper, and it allows you also to connect to your soulful self. To me, that is number one prescription for living a spiritual life is learning how to disconnect from the external world and to go on the inner world. And so your dream life too will then take another, once you're starting to connect at that level, especially with meditation, you will definitely see a shift in your dreams. Right. So I definitely highly suggest that. The other is creating any type of ritual. And meditation too, and meditation is a ritual, prayer is a ritual, but also cooking can become a ritual in a meditation, going for a walk, gardening. Even when you're at work, you know, if you think of your work, that what you go off to every day, and if you do it in a mindful way and with an open heart, and that you are giving of yourself to this effort, and you are bringing, you know, money home for your family, the intention and your attitude of how you do anything can become a meditation in life. There's books out about, you know, golf, about sports, you know, and some people kind of scoff at that, but really, and that's a very Buddhist approach. It really is how your mind is situated as far as what life can be like as far as a meditation.
Well, I think that's an important part. I mean, I'm going to say, you know, pick a part. If you haven't been doing any of this and you would like to do it with work, maybe pick some portion of your work. You're never going to stay through the whole day.
Absolutely.
But,
especially in the rat race, yeah.
But if you start with a portion of something that you enjoy, or even if it's something that you just find really monotonous, that there's a part of you that can, you know, breathe into it and just, you know, expand into it and allow it to sort of just allow you to become mindful. I mean, that's really what it's all about, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And if this is a beginning practice, you have to, you know, start somewhere and then expand on it. And because the discipline too is sticking with it.
Right.
So you don't want to overdo, you don't want to overdo it. I know, you know, that's like fasting or choosing to do something. Fasting can be a ritual, but if you kind of expand it a little bit too much, or exercise or different things, then and you don't allow space for anything else going on in your life, you can easily lose it. So,
right. Yeah. I liked your bit about cooking, though, because I think, you know, so many of us abhor cooking. I mean, some of us really, really enjoy it, and other of us, you know, find it that it's like it's our duty, that we have to do it, and so we don't really enjoy it. But if you could get to that place of seeing that you're nurturing the vessel that is, you know, carrying you in this life, I mean, if you can put love into your food, like you had mentioned earlier, I mean, that is so huge.
Oh, I believe, I agree with you. You got, Canada had a documentary, Eat, Cook, Love. That was a great documentary.
Really?
It was really good. And it talked about, you know, trying to do that in the culture of food and bring back in different cultures that, you know, hold cooking as a sacred adventure and a communal adventure for the family and very sacred. And we've lost that. So, you know, you could start at trying to do that, you know, even once a week, where that once a week you will definitely have a meal that is, because time is a big thing. We don't have the time. We haven't made the time to have that be something important in our lives anymore. And in so doing, when you're starting to open and expand yourself to a more sacred part of your life, then, you know, it can become infectious and start taking over in different areas too, because your mind will start slowing down and life will start slowing down a little bit more. And then as you dream, go expect, again, when you go to bed, put a piece of paper, have a dream journal, have a pen, and write down your dreams and draw pictures, even if it's scribble, of some of the dream images that come to you and that invoke in you. And you will be amazed at the patterns and the different things that start coming to you. But I would also, too, again, when you are dreaming of a symbol or an image, and to tie in together the story, are there different things where we can start really living a little bit more from imaginal, from a very symbolic life? And especially when you're feeling both pain and joy, that's something that you can actually look at one image and see where the pain is in your life and the joy and where you can feel those different feelings. But I encourage you to seek out drawing it or collaging it, writing about it, writing a poem about it, feeling it, and also to pick up your favorite poet. And my suggestions may not be your suggestions, but I highly recommend Mary Oliver, David White, that's W-H-Y-T-E, Walt Whitman, Robert Bly, Rumi, Hafiz. Those are Persian poets. The Persian poets are just beautiful. Robert Frost. I don't know, you know, obviously Emily Dickinson. I don't know that many. I know there was, who is the other female? I don't know that many female poets. I mostly read male poets, which is interesting. I also have listed, if anybody's ever been to the Shakespeare Festival in Stratford, who lives in the Midwest and can get there, that's amazing to go to the theater. Just if you're not expressing it yourself, but also to connect to it in a larger theater. And to start looking at life a little bit more like a theater, like you are in a play. Right. And it does. It gives a different meaning to your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Stratford, it's funny because we have a Stratford, too, where, of course, there is plays and stuff. And
that's what the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, in Ontario?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Cool.
I got to go there when I was early 20s.
Nice.
So, oh yeah, it's fabulous.
Nice.
That is. That's a great festival.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, we all can find the richness in our lives. It's just, I think it's again, wanting to see the sacredness, wanting to go deeper into ourselves. And I think the more we dive into things, the more we will find that sacredness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, looking at the bounty of just, I mean, I'm very fortunate. My husband and I, we live on a farm. And so just the last week there was, the cherries were out of control off the cherry tree.
I love
and
cherries.
Then, yeah. And then they're sour cherries. They're not the cool. Black, the sweet cherries, but my husband loves the tart cherries and then the lavender and right now pickles. He's making lots of pickles because the cucumbers are in. And then sometimes I'm like, man, there's too much. I can't do it all. You know, I want to use all of it. And then I just have to sit back and just be thankful for the bountiful of it. And that's just nature. I mean, it's around us. It really is the bountiful of nature and we can find it if we look at it. Because there's a lot of free places to go where we can have our souls kind of fed. I mean, you know, you can go to the library.
We got to go, actually, but yes.
Yeah.
There is, and I encourage people to do whatever they can to find that. You've been listening to it.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Jennifer. You can find out more about Jennifer at theartfulsoul.org. If you have a dream, contact her. She will assist you. The first one's free, so connect with her and find out more about what your dreams are telling you. All right. It's always awesome. Thank you again, Jennifer.
Okay, you take care.
We've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.